I'm glad I'm not preaching right now. Ed is. Amen. Ed,
preach from the Word of God, would you please?
Amen.
I know we're used to that.
Amen. Now, I know exactly what you mean about getting that tickle in the throat, and been there, done that deal many a time. So open your Bible this evening to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to look at, to begin with, just at verse number 9, and then go down through here. I have a title for this study and a series of studies called the Lettuce Series. Always makes me think of my cheeseburger and put the cheese on there, but the lettuce. You got to have lettuce or it's not a good burger. Now, I know Danny would disagree with me on that, but the lettuce, lettuce this, lettuce that. The Word of God has it in many, many places. And sometimes we just don't notice it. And it's been years back that I worked on this study and series called the Lettuce Series. And tonight we're going to look at let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, are we there? Chapter 6, verse 9. And the title there is from this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, we do again thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, and I just pray that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, and open our eyes to some new horizons, Lord, on what you want our relationship to be with you. And how personal you really want it to be. And that, Lord, we'll find joy, true joy and happiness and everything we need in Christ when we don't grow weary. Father, may you be honored and glorified through all that you do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in Galatians chapter 6, the apostle says to us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Then he says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I looked at the way the Apostle Paul has divided this verse, broken it down, and he brings forth to us a thought that we need to be careful. The very fact that he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, indicates the fact that we can be weary. We have a tendency to do that. And sometimes we get so busy and we are over, just run with everything that we have going on in life and in the church and our family and the jobs or whatever it might be. And there's times that we know. I mean, we've been preached to long enough. We know what he's saying is correct, but sometimes we forget. And he reminds us, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not. And then he says, he tells us when. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For in due season. We're going to reap. In season, in due season, we shall reap. But he says there's a catch. If we faint not. Somebody's going to win the Super Bowl next week. Or whenever it is. Is it Sunday or Monday? Or okay. Somebody's going to win that game. But who's it going to be? And it's going to be the team that has prepared the best. It comes out with everything they've got. And the Apostle Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And we need to realize we are in a battle. The Super Bowl is going to be a battle. And so we need to realize there are spiritual battles that we face. And we need to not grow weary in well-doing. As we approach these battles in life and the battles that Satan throws at us, we approach those, and how are we going to look at these things. How are we going to receive the battle? How are we going to accept that battle that's coming at us and not grow weary in well-doing? And it's to realize that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Again, there's a condition there. It's conditional. If we faint not, we're going to reap something. We're going to reap benefit. We're going to reap a reward, a victory in our lives because we haven't become weary in well-doing. We need to keep charging forward with everything we have. Why? Because that due season is coming and we will reap. We will reap the reward. Now, what happens? What are some of the reasons we grow weary in well-doing? Reasons for weariness. And these are just a few thoughts on this. But to think that sometimes we can find ourselves, or we're not careful, in the midst of poor spiritual discipline. Poor spiritual discipline. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we're not talking about being disciplined, the discipline that comes from the Lord because we've done something wrong. But what it talks about here and is the spiritual disciplines. We talk about disciplines. Again, you go back to the football game. And those that have practiced and done their best with the disciplines, they come out ready. And we, as Christians, we need to realize that there are spiritual disciplines in our lives that we need to pay attention to, that we need to not let slip away. We need not to fail to follow in these spiritual disciplines and work those into our life where it becomes an integral part of who we are. We need to know who we are and who we represent, and we need to not be weary in well-doing. We need to realize, again, we will reap if we faint not. And so poor spiritual discipline, the first one is in Psalm 119, verse 2, if you turn there quickly with me. Psalm 119, verse 2. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Now let me read that again. Think about it. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. And then he says, and that seek Him with a whole heart. So we need to keep His testimonies. We need to guard our hearts and our testimony with spiritual disciplines where we keep these things in line. We don't, about to come out with a Spanish word there. We don't head down the wrong path, take a wrong turn, or think that, yeah, we're doing a great job, I'm doing a great job, No, we need to be careful. Careful that we keep His testimonies. Not worry about what people think about us, but what do they think about the Lord, and what do they see in us that directs them and guides them and brings people to Christ. People see that. They're going to look at that. And so poor spiritual disciplines can affect this. If we don't keep His testimonies, it's going to affect our testimony. That we seek with Him with the whole heart. I have to give it everything. Everything we have needs to be given to Him from our heart. It is a heart's decision to know and realize that I've got spiritual disciplines that I must guard in my life. And I have to do it with my whole heart. And then we come to chapter 119 again, verse 10. Look down at verse 10 of Psalms. He says, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Again, we see something important here. He says, with my what? My whole heart. With my whole heart. Part of our spiritual disciplines that we have to make sure are in check every day. Every day that we arise from the bed and we sit down and we spend some time in the Word of God and in prayer, we have to be doing it with our whole heart. It has to be. And so he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. We need to seek God. We need to seek his plan, his will, his desires. And everything I do about seeking him and have sought thee, he says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We need to be careful that we don't wander from this book. And the honest truth, if you're not careful, and I've seen it happen, you've seen it happen. People who spend a lot of time in the Word of God, they can fail. They can fall. Why? Because they failed in a spiritual discipline. Their whole heart quit seeking God. If you're not careful as a Christian, we can come to a point where we think we know it all. Where we've been through every book of the Bible, and I read through the Bible more than completely every year. But if we're not careful, we can become start to think that, oh yeah, I remember this one. Yeah, I know that one. And just skim through it. Or we might skim through our prayer time. And there's so many different ways that Satan will attack us. Satan will try to get a stronghold in our lives that he can come and he can attack and he can just demolish us. And if we come to this and we think, okay, I know all this and I know these verses and I, Satan can't do anything to me. You keep yourself loaded with the Word of God and Satan can't touch you. No, he can and he will. He will come after you. And we have to be ready for this with good spiritual disciplines in our lives. Look with me at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15 and verse 5. We all there? He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do, what's it say? Nothing. We can go along with everything and make a journey out of it and if we don't do it right, we aren't careful about our spiritual disciplines, if we grow weary in well doing, we can too easily slip away and Satan can get the victory over us. He can defeat us. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Notice something with that phrase. He says, I am the vine. We are the branches. And then he says to us, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, the Lord is not saying to us that ye abide in me and I in him like it's a problem for him. That's not the issue. He does. And he can abide in us. But do we allow him that first place in our lives? Do we allow him the position that he deserves in our lives? And he wants us to get to the point of understanding and realizing he is the vine. He is everything. And we must abide in him. We must realize we are just branches. He is the one that is well founded in the Word of God. That he has roots deeper than we can imagine in our lives. And that's where he wants to be. But we have to allow it. We have to allow him to work in our lives and bring us to the point that we have good spiritual disciplines in our lives. But if we're not careful, there's some of these things can cause weariness. Cause weariness. And he says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. When He abides us and we allow Him to abide in us and we voluntarily abide in Him, then that fruit will come forth. And then He warns us. He said, "For without Me, ye can do nothing." Ye can do nothing without Me. And we need to realize, folks, that without Him, we will fail. We will fail without Him. But with Christ, and in obedience to Christ, and everything that He teaches us, and He is the vine, and we are the branches, then He is able to work in our lives, and we can walk with Him, and we can have the disciplines that we need from the Lord. Now, this next one, we just looked at the reasons for weariness. Is sometimes we have a wrong spiritual discipline in our lives. But there's one other thing that I notice and it just presses upon me in my heart, is that if we're not careful, we will have to face the on an island feeling. How many of us have ever felt like we were on a desert island? I mean, life just goes on and people walk by you and they don't even look at you. You just feel like you're all alone. Your life is at a point where things just don't make sense. What is going on, Lord? What do You want me to do? And we can get caught in that feeling on the island. And some people say the island that nobody's on. I mean, they're all by myself. But look at Psalm 34 for a moment. Psalm 34 and verse 15. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. And the psalmist here is teaching us something. He's saying the eyes of the Lord are upon who? The righteous. And we need not feel like that we're out on an island all by ourselves. We're doing everything and nobody wants to help and nobody wants to work and nobody wants to do this. And I'm just here doing all I can, but I don't know how much more I can do. That's on the island attitude. And it's easy to fall into that if we're not careful. Then he says, and His ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are there. He sees us and He hears us. And we need to be willing and realize, okay, I'm beginning to feel like I'm on an island. No, nobody wants to do anything. We're not getting anything done. We're not making progress. We're not seeing the church grow. We're not seeing people come. Nobody's been saved for 3 months. And we can begin to fall into that. I'm on the island again. And He's warning us. He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You walk righteously with Me. I am there. Walk with Me. Live for Me. You're not on your own. You're not by yourself. You're not on the island. And He says, and His ears are open unto their cry. How many of us have come to the point in our lives at one time or another where we just cry out to God? Lord, I don't know what to do. I just can't do it. I don't know what You want me to do. Please give me some direction. Open doors. And we come to that point of if you want to say frustration or just as it says, open your cry unto the Lord. Call unto the Lord and bare your heart before Him. And He says, I'm listening. I'm listening. Let's talk about this. And God will come and speak to your heart and walk you through this on the island feeling. Proverbs 15, another good verse. Proverbs 15, verse 3. In Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. We don't need to know, Lord, do you not understand what's going on? Lord, why aren't you doing this? Or why aren't you helping here? Or why aren't you giving us what we need for the church to grow more? He already knows all about it. He knows exactly what is going on. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And he says, beholding the evil and the good. What I need to be concerned with is my life. Where am I in my walk with the Lord? And I begin to sense or see this feeling, this on the island feeling, a deserted island if you want it to be. But to think that I'm stuck here, Lord, I don't know what to do. Excuse me. And I need to just turn back to the Lord. And remember, he knows everything going on. And it may not necessarily be the kind of evil we're thinking about. This may be the evil that's just things aren't going right. Things aren't the way we know they should be. It's not a matter of sinful stuff going on. And hopefully not in our lives, but it could be if we're not careful. But more than anything, it's stating, and the Lord is stating, he knows, he beholds the evil and the good. He beholds the things that are a stronghold or have the noose around our neck. The fact I can't sleep at night because God's not working and I don't know what to do, or something has to change. And we get so worried sometimes and so frustrated with that things aren't going the way we think they should. Things aren't happening in the way that we want them to. And the Lord is saying, hey, calm down. Calm down. You're not on an island all by yourself. I've got it under control. And we need to realize he does. He knows exactly what he's doing. And we just need to come back to him and say, hey, Lord, teach me, show me, calm my spirit, calm my heart, calm my thoughts, and show me your power. Show me your mighty hand. Show me what you want to have happen in my life. Lord, show us what you want to do in our church. Open our eyes to your will and help us to be obedient. And so if we're not careful, we come into this and he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And we reason with this and we see certain reasons that we've just been through these and the reasons for weariness would be poor spiritual disciplines and the on-the-island feeling. But then there's something else, some reality about well-doing. What is the reality of well-doing? Galatians chapter 6, again, where we started. You left the tickle in your throat somewhere up here, and it is trying to get me. Yes, please. That would be fantastic. Thank you. I was going to bring a bottle, and I totally forgot. So there are certain realities about well-doing that we need to see in these few more verses that we're going to look at. In the Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, we see the second part of that verse where it started. Let me read it from the start. And let us not be weary in well-doing. We're doing well. We're doing what we're supposed to do. But we've grown weary in doing it. Why? Because it becomes a habit if we're not careful. We don't want to do things for the Lord that are just out of habit. We want to do them because it's from my heart. Because he loves me and he's blessed me. And just look at what he has given and done for me. And so we need to maintain our heart, the perspective, our relationship with him. In the fact that we don't want it to become a weariness. And he says, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. Now, he talks about this here. Chapter 6, verse 9. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. But there's a reality about well-doing. A reality. When he tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing. But then how does he respond to it? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's conditional. We shall reap if we fail not. So I need to guard myself. I need to guard my heart from this well-doing and weariness that can take over if I'm not careful. For in due season we shall reap not. When are we going to reap? In due season. This is the reality of well-doing, is that rewards in this aspect, in this verse, these rewards are seasonal. They're seasonal. Now you think about what does that mean? Well, I've got some responsibilities here that I need to take care of. And God says, in due season, we shall reap. But he says, if ye faint not. If I grow weary in this and I'm not careful and I don't remember that rewards are seasonal, I could, you know, just get totally out of sorts with my ideas or my plans or what I want to see God do. And the reality of it is that the rewards are going to come in due season. We need to be patient. We have to be patient with God, because God's plan is so far above what we could even imagine or think. And so I've got to let him have it. I've got to say, Lord, you're right. The reality is that it's seasonal. But when is that harvest coming? Well, that's when the Lord and I can start that conversation and say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm sensing. But Lord, I feel frustrated. We need to pour our hearts out to God once in a while. Sometimes, I can get up here and I can pray and others can pray, but the Lord wants to see our sincerity. The Lord wants to know that we're for real. And He knows our heart. He knows our trials and our temptations. And so the reality of well-doing is that these rewards are seasonal, but they will come if we faint not. So again, a condition comes back upon us at this point. But not only that, the seasonal, there's two seasons. And we find the eternal season also in this. 1 Corinthians 3:8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I'm going to receive according to what I do, not what somebody else does. My reward, what I will receive from the Lord, will be because I have worked and done what God expects of me, what I have been responsible for and been obedient for. And so God will work, and he wants to work, but it's according to my labor. We need not expect that God is going to bless us and give us and do for us if we are not willing to put in the time for the relationship that we need with him. It requires time. It requires an obligation on our part to spend time with the Lord. And then watch what he begins to do in our lives. That eternal season. The rewards are seasonal. And when he says that every man shall receive his own reward. But how? According to his own labor. I'm going to receive from the Lord, but it's going to be according to what he has asked me to do. And if I have been faithful in doing what he has given to me to do. But then there's not just the eternal season, there's the earthly season. In James chapter 1, verse 4, James 1, 4, he says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The patience. "But let patience have her perfect work." Now, I know there's people say, "Oh, I don't pray for patience." Why not? Because there's a reward to be had. "But let patience have her perfect work." I want God to have his perfect work in me. And if some disciplines come and different things come along the way to polish me and prepare me, then so be it. It's allowing God to work in our lives the way he wants to work in our lives. Allowing him to do in my heart what he wants me to do. What he wants to do in me. And he says that we may be perfect and entire. You know, I don't see the negative side of the patience, the idea. "But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Wow. For our light affliction. And we're afraid to pray for patience? No, we should ask the Lord, "Please, Lord, make me patient. Help me to have patience while I watch you work." And when we open up that relationship, And we really open our hearts to God and we say, "Lord, I want it. I want you to do the work in me and show me what you want me to do." And we get down to it, just a personal, intimate relation with Christ. And he says, "What you go through, what you're going to go through, what I need to do for you and with you and to you," he says, "it's going to be but a light affliction." Because he knows exactly what he needs to do to polish me and make me and turn me into whatever he wants me to be. To do with the ministry what he desires and in his timing. And for our light afflictions, he said, which are but for a moment. It is for a moment. When we stand before Christ and we receive from him the eternal rewards, not just the earthly rewards, the earthly season, but the eternal season, we will be able to give thanks to the Lord and praise his name and glory to him. Because what we have been willing to say, "Lord, afflictions, whatever you need to do, because I want you to be able to use me to do something with my life that would count for your glory." And then he says, "which is but for a moment." It is but for a moment, the light affliction that sometimes we have to suffer or go through. But he says, "worketh for us." It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The work that he wants to do in us, we need to want him to do it. Too many Christians, they're in this, "No, I don't ever, you know, I've told my kids, don't ever pray for patience." That's running from the Lord. That's not telling the Lord that I want you to do what you need to do to make me what you want me to be. It's just that simple. It sounds like it's big. It's not. Because right what we have here in this is simply, how do I develop very personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How do I get to the point where I just love the Lord so much that I'm willing to do something that I didn't have planned on doing? I'm willing to let Him guide and direct and open doors here or there and step through those doors. But Lord, I've got this plan and I've got it all figured out and the way it should be, and this is what should happen, this is what's got to happen. And the Lord says, hey, calm down. Calm down. I've got a better plan. And all I need is your willingness to let me work it in you. And that's what He wants to do through each of us. Let Him work through you to fulfill His will. But He warns us. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You for what You've shown us this evening. And Lord, there are times, I think, when we all feel like we're all alone. Maybe we feel like we're on the desert island and things just aren't going the way we planned. Now, Father, You know exactly what You're doing. And I pray that You'd help each of us to be willing and open and give our whole hearts to You. And allow You to work in our lives in a way that would bring honor and glory to Your name. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.